Arrivò. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanna Chari. Jamuna Chira Vanna Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanna Chari. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraj Kacharja Astotra Satya Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासारी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंड गिरी गोपदान की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय, नवद्वीप धाम की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, जमुना देवी की जय, गंगा देवी की जय, समवेता भक्त वृंद की जय। गोवर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste. Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvisesha Shunyavadi. Paschatya Desha Tarani. I'd like to recite one verse which may help to put us in the proper mental attitude for appreciating Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the final chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Parangiyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Vakti sahitam, naishkamyam avishkritam, tach trinvan supatan, vicharana paro bhaktya vimutyen nara. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order. Chapter number 6, Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva. Today's verse 29. Rakta Kanta Kaganika Swara Mandita Shatpadam Kalahamsa Kula Prishtang Karandanda Jalashayam Rakta Kanta Kaganika Swaramandita Shatpadam Kalahamsa Kula Preshtam Karadanda Jalashayam Rakta Kanta Kaganika Swaramandita Shatpadam Kalahamsa Kula Preshtam Karadanda Jalashayam. Please chant. Synonyms: Rakta, reddish. Kanta, necks. Kaga Anika, of many birds. Swara, with the sweet sounds. Mandita, decorated. Shatpadam, bees. Kalahamsakula, of groups of swans. Prishtam, very dear. Karadanda, lotus flowers. Jala Ashayam, lakes. Please repeat. In that celestial forest, there were many birds whose necks were colored reddish and whose sweet sounds mixed with the humming of the bees. The lakes were abundantly decorated with crying swans, as well as strong-stemmed lotus flowers. Purport, by His Divine Grace, the ISKCON founder, Acharya, your ever-well-wisher, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. The beauty of the forest was intensified by the presence of various lakes. It is described herein that the lakes were decorated with lotus flowers and with swans who played and sang with the birds and the humming bees. Considering all these attributes, one can imagine how beautiful this spot was and how much the demigods passing through enjoyed the atmosphere. There are many paths and beautiful spots created by man on this planet Earth, but none of them can surpass those of Kailas as they are described in these verses. Thus ends Prabhupada's purport to today. Trinadapi sunichena torori vasa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamaiva kevalam klau nastyeva 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 gatiranyatha vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge known as Vedas. This we learned in the third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the beginning. Nigama kalpatora galitam phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge. And it has become even more sweet and tasty because it has been spoken by Shukadev Goswami, who was self-realized even in the womb of his mother. He stayed there for 16 years. And it wasn't until Krishna promised, because he didn't want to come out of the womb, he was thinking, I'm already self-realized. If I come out, I might fall into Maya. So Vyasadeva and his wife were very worried. Ladies, you know, 9 months is enough, isn't it? Carrying child in the womb. What to speak of 16 years? So Krishna had to come and speak to Shukadeva and tell him, No, you don't have to be afraid. Come out. You're protected. But when Shukadeva came out of the womb, he said, householders. Ugh. He left. He didn't want to stay with his mother and father. And Vyasadeva was crying. You can imagine. You've been waiting 16 years for your son. He comes out and says, adios, I'm out of here. You can imagine the parents' feeling. So Shukadeva, being compassionate, expanded himself. One Shukadeva went back with Vyasadeva and his wife, and the other Shukadeva went out, sannyas, realizing and tasting Srimad Bhagavatam. And we know that Srimad Bhagavatam also, the history we learned in first canto, the history, why Srimad Bhagavatam came in this book form. Originally, Bhagavatam was 4 statements spoken by Narayan at the time of creation. Four essential verses, Chattu Shloki. But in the pre-dawn era of Kali Yuga, Vyasadev was instructed by his spiritual master Narada Muni to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus we have 18,000 shlokas coming from those original four nutshell seed verses which are found in the second canto, chapter 9. And we know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra by the very same author. Last night, we heard that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Krishna said, I am the compiler of Vedanta. So who was that? That was Vyasadeva. After he compiled, edited the four Veda, the one Veda originally, he broke out into four. Then, as we learned from Bhagavad Gita, right, the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. That's why Krishna told Arjuna in chapter 2, transcend these Vedas, because they're dealing with these modes of nature. So after the four Vedas, to explain transcendence, which is beyond the three modes of nature, you have 108 Upanishads. One reason why we have 108 beads. That's one reason. So the 108 Upanishads describe what is beyond the modes of nature, transcendence. Then Vyasadeva compiled the Puranas, the Itihasas, Mahabharat, and then finally his literary masterpiece, Vedanta Sutra. But the problem with the Vedanta Sutra is it's written in codes. For instance, anyone here know how to write computer codes, computer language? Do we have any computer geeks here? Anyway, if you ever meet someone who writes, I know many such people, if you see their paperwork, it just looks like numbers and symbols. We don't know, what is this? But to a computer geek, he looks at that computer, ooh, very interesting. Because he understands the codes. Vedanta Sutra is like that. It's written in code form. Unless you have mastered Sanskrit, unless you are a pukka-pukka Brahmin, and you have already studied Upanishads, you try to read Vedanta Sutra. Mm-mm. Just like many times I've tried to read purports by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. After two words, where's the dictionary? What? It's written in such a high type of language, you get exhausted after the first paragraph, mentally. Even Prabhupada said that he would hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta speak. He said, sometimes I understood what he was saying, sometimes I didn't. So Vedanta Sutra is not easily accessible. Very few persons can actually understand Vedanta Sutra, which is one reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his spiritual master, told him at the time of Harinam Diksha, don't read Vedanta Sutra, you just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What to speak when Vedanta Sutra is commented upon in the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya, then you're doomed, hopeless. Then you misunderstand. So, Narada Muni explained to Vyasadeva, you compile Srimad Bhagavatam, because in all these books that you have written, which I mentioned, Vedas, 108 Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasas, the histories, Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra, Narada said, but you forgot one thing, the most important thing, Krishna and his devotional service. That's the topmost. That's it. The highest thing that you overlooked. You didn't put it in its proper place. Just like anyone who knows, when you get a diamond, it also has to be set on the ring in a certain way to make it really enhanced. It's called a setting. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the crown jewel of all the Vedic library. Therefore, it puts Krishna and his devotional service and his devotees in the right perspective. Just like pujaris. The pujaris, what's a pujari mentality? How can I make Krishna look better today? We have the altar, and then the pujari is thinking, today I will dress Krishna in this way because I want Krishna to look even more better today than I did yesterday. That's a pujari's meditation. Always thinking, how can I tweak it just a little bit to make Krishna look even more enhanced? So Srimad Bhagavatam, what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Everything that's in Vedanta Sutra is here in Srimad Bhagavatam, but in a very easily understandable, easily swallowable format. And what to speak, right? I said at the beginning, it was stated in the third verse, that this Bhagavatam became even more sweet because it was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, but now in Kali Yuga, it has become super sweet because of the Bhaktivedanta purport. Prabhupada and many people have commented that Prabhupada's geniosity, being able to explain these very, very high, even difficult philosophical subjects, he breaks it down and explains it so that even an idiot like me can understand. This is Prabhupada's empowerment, that he's able to explain Bhagavatam so that anybody can easily understand it. And then what did Prabhupada do? You mentioned it last night, Bhakta Peter. Prabhupada wasn't dissatisfied in writing it. He wanted it distributed. Give it. Shishi Radha Madan Mohana Ki. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki. Shishi Gornita Ki. ISKCON Vancouver Ki. Go Premanande. I like your Hari Bowl. That's a very nice Hari Bowl. It's very powerful. If I'm on my deathbed, if you came and said, Hari Bowl, you would bring a dead man back to life. No, I speak of the truth. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us everything we need to know about Vedanta Sutra. And being given the honor, because it's an honor to sit here and to speak on Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees, it's an honor. And it's very humbling, very, very humbling when you look out and you see who you're speaking to and you realize, I'm a dog, I'm a fool, and I'm speaking to such nice, beautiful, loving devotees. And they're so merciful and compassionate that they tolerate. Thank you for doing that. To me, Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, is a test of the third item of devotional service, Smaranam. Because unless Krishna empowers, nothing is going to come out. I've had so much experience, and I've heard others. You can spend all day studying, preparing to give that class the day before. Then when the day comes, but nothing comes out right. Krishna completely covers. And I know devotees, they've told me that when they sat down to give the class, they didn't say anything they had prepared, and to them it sounded like gobbledygook, but people came up, Prabhu, that was wonderful, Prabhu, thank you. And I've had so much experience. I give a class and I'm thinking, oh man, I got that, I nailed that, and nobody comes up afterwards. It's like, what, I got three heads? I just gave the greatest class in the history of humanity. And I mean, people were like, so this speaking on Bhagavatam, it's all within Krishna's hand. It's all within Krishna's hand. And even Prabhupada, when he wrote that poem on the Jaladutta when he arrived in Boston, that you make my words so that they will be able to understand your message. The devotee realizes that Krishna, I'm just your puppet. That's all. You can make me a success or failure as you like. Or maybe the line you like, Bhakta Peter. If you have brought me here to dance, make me dance. Where are you going to dance today?
Downtown.
Make me dance as you like. So let's see if I remember. What time does this class end? What time is 8:30? You pull the cane. Good. So for the next few minutes, let's see if I can remember anything from this section of Bhagavatam. And correct me at any time if I make a mistake. Correct me. So this is for you to, I might even say something wrong on purpose just to see if you're paying attention. So, this particular section of Bhagavatam is actually being spoken by Maitreya, is that correct? And he's speaking to Vidura. And here, the whole scene has been the sacrifice performed by Daksha. And Daksha had been appointed by Lord Brahma as the chief of the Prajapatis. And there was a big sacrifice. Demigods and sages and Brahmins and rishis, all the big society were there at Daksha's house for the sacrifice. And even great, Lord Shiva was there. And when Daksha entered the room, he had such an effulgence, because he had been specifically blessed by Lord Brahma. And everyone stood up to show respect to Daksha. Lord Shiva, however, was in samadhi. He was meditating on Krishna within his heart. He was oblivious. And he did not stand up. Daksha had been maintaining a grudge against his son-in-law, because it was Brahma who induced him to give his pet daughter. Sati was the youngest and she was the pet. I think he had 13 daughters, is that correct? And do we have any Bhagavatologists here? I'm going by memory. Maybe Rohita knows. So I think he had 13 daughters. She was the youngest. She was the pet. And Brahma induced him, you give this one to Lord Shiva. And Daksha really didn't want to do that, but he did it. He had to. The GBC forced his hand. So he had a little grudge against Lord Shiva. After all, Daksha is paka Brahmin, very aristocratic. And Lord Shiva, we all know, covered with ashes, hair, very niggardly dressed, doesn't even live in a house, he lives under a tree. So to someone like Daksha, he sees these external characteristics. In one place, there's a description of Lord Shiva by Kashyapa. His devilish features, he externally looks like that. So when Shiva failed to stand up and honor his father-in-law, Daksha took this opportunity, now I get my vengeance. And in the sacrifice, he took the opportunity to criticize, to blaspheme Lord Shiva. Tensions were rising. The followers of Lord Shiva, they didn't like this. But what is so nice about Lord Shiva? He said nothing to retaliate. I always speak on this point. Because even Krishna himself mentions in the 11th canto that it is most difficult to keep your composure, to hold your tongue when somebody is speaking against you. That's not so easy. It's very difficult. Human nature. What are you saying? Who do you think you're, who are you talking to, man? What are you, let's take it outside. Right? But Lord Shiva remained silent. And when the cursing and counter-cursing was going on, Lord Shiva left. Very exemplary. That's why he's Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He is the emblem of what it means to be a follower of Lord Vishnu, to be a devotee. Just as the Ganga, the best of all rivers, Bhagavatam, best of all books, and best of all devotees of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Shambhu. Then, after some time, Daksha was again having one of his big yajna parties, and Sati could see flying in the sky all the wives of the demigods flying in their airplanes decked out. Right? Ladies, it's their nature. Nice saris, bangles, jewels, decorated. When they go to a religious function, they want to look good. So Sati was thinking, it's in my father's house. But even though he didn't invite me, it's okay. I'm his daughter. I'm his pet. What harm is there? I can go. I want to go. But very, very significant, Sati asked permission from the husband. And Lord Shiva said, no, this is not a good idea. Don't you recall? Your father finds fault with me. He doesn't like me. And you may say that you can go uninvited, but mark my words, that if you get pierced in your heart by the words of a relative, that's worse than getting an arrow. If your enemy shoots you an arrow, that's one thing. But the harsh words of a relative, unbearable. And that reminds me that amongst each other, we should be very, very careful. Because a non-devotee may say something to me, like, oh, he's just a fool. But if another devotee says something, that could really pierce my heart. Therefore, it is good, very good, to no matter what we have to say, Our words should be overcoated with love and concern. And of course the question comes up, Prabhu, what do you do when you have to say something to a devotee that they're doing something wrong? What if that's the situation? And still I say it should be said very nicely, very sweetly, very lovingly. You'll still get the effect that you want. Actually, you'll get a better effect. If my concern is actually to help a devotee, then I want to say what I have to say in such a way that the devotee will actually take what I'm saying and apply it. That's being somebody's well-wisher. So say you have to instruct somebody that they're doing something wrong. The old adage, you can attract more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. So if you have to instruct somebody, if you have to point out something, you will have much more of an effect, not by saying, hey, stupid, you idiot, you fool, you did this. What's the other person going to say? He's immediately going to react. But if I say to the person, my dear Prabhu, I'm so fallen. Please forgive me. I beg you, please. But I feel that if you did this or did that or don't do this or don't do that, it will actually help you in your Krishna consciousness. So how we say things, that's why I firmly believe Lord Chaitanya's third Shikshastakam, that no matter what situation I'm in, I still have to remain meek and humble, regardless. I may be the boss, I may be the doss, but still, I have to always be in this mood of humility, meek and humble. So Lord Shiva told Sati not to go, but she went anyway. And sure enough, as predicted by her husband, she was again insulted and felt very pained in the heart and decided to give up that body, as she told her father. Then now whenever my husband refers to me as your daughter, I get very disgusted. And Sati said that when one eats food which is poisonous, the best treatment is to vomit. So Sati decided, I no longer want to have a bodily connection with you. You who are envious of Lord Shiva, who is faultless. I no longer want to have any connection with you. She meditated on the fiery elements in the body. We heard about that last night. There's fire in the body due to Krishna. She meditated on the fiery elements and gave up her body right there in the midst of all the family and friends. And again, she took birth as the daughter of the Himalayas and again was reunited with her eternal partner, Lord Shiva. They cannot be separated. And when Lord Shiva heard about the immolation suicide of his wife Sati, he plucked a hair from his head, dashed it to the ground, and created Virabhadra, the personified anger of Lord Shiva. And Virabhadra and his associates, they decimated Daksha's arena and they hurt so many demigods, One demigod, they pulled his mustache right off his face. You know, you have a mustache. Somebody was to come and rip it off. Somebody else, they plucked out the eyes because they were making eyes when the cursing was going out. And then Virabhadra tried to kill Daksha, but he was having difficulty killing him. And he saw the wooden device that was meant to sacrifice the goat. And with that implement, he beheaded Daksha. And then Swaha took his head and offered it into the southern side of the sacrificial arena. Haribo! And then they left. And you can imagine the scene, completely destroyed by Lord Shiva and his followers. They decimated the sacrificial arena. So the demigods, they went to Lord Brahma. And they needed some help. So Lord Brahma spoke to them. How can you have a sacrifice? How can you pretend to be successful in a sacrifice if you criticize Lord Shiva? And Lord Brahma explained to them, you don't know how powerful Lord Shiva is. And he explained, Lord Brahma knows Lord Shiva was one of his first sons. So Brahma knows how powerful is Lord Shiva. And he explained to the demigods. So now, in where we are at now, they are, Lord Brahma has taken them to Lord Shiva's abode, Kailas. And so where are we now? They're describing, what is this Kailas? All right, we have 10 minutes for Ishta Goshti. So if you have questions or comments, chastisements, please speak. Yes, Mataji. Would you like the ecstasy of doing that yourself? I already vituperated long enough. Maybe you might know more than me.
So this is a very holy kunda. It's very small, but Prabhupada points out in Purva that the Ganges actually flows there in kind of unobtrusive ways. There's also reading that two of the rivers that are flowing in that particular area are tributaries of the Ganges, so in this particular Kailas area. And of course, a lot of it is the Kushan.
Jai. Thank you, Mataji. More questions, comments, additions, corrections? Bhakti Peter, anything to opine? Anything you'd like to add?
Such an amazing personality, as you mentioned so nicely, he's the greatest Vaishnava.
Yes, when he was speaking to his wife, that verse comes where Lord Shiva says, I am always in Krishna consciousness. Wow. To be able to say that. I can't say that. My favorite story, which I say so many times in my preaching, that one time Prabhupada had a servant, and the servant said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I made that mistake. I fell into Maya. And Prabhupada said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. I love that. That I love, because it reveals to us what is my situation. Yes. And there is a description in the first canto of Maharaj Parikshit. It said that Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously trying to surrender. So that's Krishna consciousness. Too often I think, oh, I'm initiated. What's the problem? No. It's not that, oh yeah, I surrendered in 1974. Like I have one god brother, he told me many years ago, Narantar Babu, you don't have to worry. You're Prabhupada's disciple, you're delivered. I said, no. It's not because I'm initiated that's an automatic guarantee. So that's why I like this phrase about Parikshit. He was always consciously surrendering. Surrendering is a moment-to-moment activity. Even in ordinary relationship between husband and wife, if the husband thinks, oh, I married you, we're done. That's not good enough. The wife wants attention. She wants love and devotion exclusively, daily. What have you done for me lately? So that's true even in the material world, and it's true for the husband too. So what to speak if I'm really serious about Krishna consciousness? Then I have to be surrendering moment to moment. Prabhupada also spoke on this, that a devotee never thinks, oh, this is the limit of my service. The devotee is always thinking, now I must do this for Krishna. As I was mentioning the pujaris, I know pujaris like that. They meditate throughout the whole day how the next day they're going to dress Krishna in this way. So all of our aspects of our devotional life is always how to improve, how to do it better. Never think, this is my limit. No, there's no permanent vacation. The devotee's attitude is, let me surrender. Just like, I'm sure we've all had that experience. For instance, Saturday we're going to do Pandava Nirjala Akadasi and we're going to chant a gajillion rounds, right? But then come Sunday, it's not that, alright, you know, I did my gajillion rounds. Today I'm going to, no. Come Sunday, I again have to get my beads and start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. As the song goes, it's a new dawn, it's a new day. Pick up your bead bag, there is no other way. You have more to say?
Nope.
Prabhu, Jai Go, anything you want to comment?
Nothing on me. Nothing specifically on the class. Just an extension of appreciation of your knowledge and your ability to set it so clearly and so precisely. You have a great word and really enters into the psyche and the mystique. And thank you for that.
You are very kind. I will try to do better whenever the next opportunity comes. Will I be giving class this evening in the temple room? Do you have something planned? No, I'm talking about today. So, can I? All right, I'm going to do chapter 16 like we did yesterday. We did chapter 15, so I want to do... So if we can have books available so that everyone can follow. Thank you very much. It is 8:28. We have 2 more minutes. Does anybody want to chime in, get their licks in? All right, thank you very much. Please forgive my offenses. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We had 27 devotees online.
24. Fantastic.
We had devotees from Tennessee, San Francisco, Mumbai, Los Angeles, Panama, San Diego, Santiago, and of course, Vancouver. And those are the ones that signed in. There's many that didn't sign in, but we don't know where they are. All right. So for those of you on the internet, there'll be class tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be studying chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. Hari Bol. Now it's time to take prasad.
Yes. The most